And financial penalties become important. So I can imagine an idea that in prehistoric times, in pre-Mishnaic times, maybe the Kedushin didn't carry with it all of these penalties, and they gradually became more and more serious until it actually became interpreted as an act. I'm not saying that I have any evidence for this, but we see this in the case of the Shtuchim. Eventually, the Tnaim themselves became so onerous that they became eliminated and also unified with the wedding, and that was replaced by an engagement without too much in the way of penalties. But one can imagine in 200 or 300 years that the engagements that we have now become more seriously penalized. But we see that in the time of the Tosfos, when all types of penalty contracts became more acceptable in violation of the Gemara's idea that asmachta lo kanya, then the penalty contract associated with the engagement became serious enough to allow the Kedushin to be merged with the Nisui. The girl's family and the boy's family were sufficiently assured that there would not be any break in the engagement, and they didn't need the stronger penalties attached to the Kedushin. Okay.
Any significance
to the reflecting of life? Yeah.
Is it a
Kenyan, maybe? It's a form of some form. I don't know. I agree with the Rav that the whole idea of having the Tznayim is...
the times of the wedding.
At the time of the wedding, it has no value. Okay? But at any rate, we see, going back to read what we have here in Freiman, we see from the Shibale Halekit, Ben Hagenu She'en Mevarchim Berchat Erosin B'yom Ha'erosin, Ela b'shat haknasata shel kala l'kupa v'cholelin b'rachat ha'erusim and b'rachat nisun. So in contrast to what we saw before, in which b'rachat ha'erusim was thought of as a b'rachat ha'mitzvah, and therefore should be made over la'asiyatan, here the b'rachat erusim is just considered as a standard b'rachat shvach, or b'racha on a, as the Rav likes to say, a b'racha on a chalos, that is a declaration of the
status.
Of a status, but not an actually birchat mitzvah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now if we turn to page 29, that is
Italia.
Well, and it will still be in Sefat and Ashkenaz and Daf Chof Tet. Mitshuva acheret, ach mitshuva acheret nirah she'od b'yamav shel Rashi chal shinu yisodi b'menhagei makomo. Already at the time of Rashi, we see that there was a fundamental change in the custom. Makom shemavarchim b'chat erusin b'yom echad shacharit v'arvit. And he mentions a custom where that they would have the kedushin in the morning and the nisuin in the evening. Okay. We'll get. Minhag ze lo ra'iti b'shum makom, Rashi says. Aval b'mkomeinu rugilim la'asotam b'makom echad. We do the Erusin and the Kedushin together. Aval ach ein mevachin shtehem al kos echad. We don't do both brachot on one cup. Okay? And then finally, at the end of Rashi, when Rashi was an old man, he gives an explanation to this custom. The reason why we do the erusin and the nisuin together, the custom has been to serve a meal with the erusin. Im osin erusin kodin nisuin, ugnai lachatan ulkrovav im lo yerbu b'suuda b'simcha kol hayom. And the groom, who apparently was responsible for the catering in Rashi's time, would be embarrassed if they were not able to provide a luxurious meal. Lefichach elu bnei adam osim erusin unusuin biyachad kedei lihipater b'su'uda achat mishtehem. And therefore, our custom is to have the erusin and the gedushin together in order to be able to get away with one meal.
And he paid.
And the groom's family paid. Ula olam erusin l'chud unusuin. Okay? So therefore, according to Rashi's opinion, one of the reasons that went into this was in order to save on catering costs. Okay? And Rashi, in fact, in order to strengthen this idea of a distinction between the Erusin and Kedushin, if we read the next paragraph, Kishitchil min zag zelit pashet, and it Rashi tikun chadash paseder hatuna, from the Sefer HaYashar, we read, Umin hagna hesh en higu shen hi hen higo rabenu shlomo bedoro, lehistalek uletasek b'shum davar lasot hefsek ben b'chat Erusin l'nzun. To do something that will cause a break between Erusin and Nisun. Today we read the Ketubah in between, and that's the break. Okay?
Now you know.
So what's the point?
That there's still to retain some symbolic difference between the Erusin and the Ketubah.
Why?
There was in the olden days a notion of Erusin, and the Gaonim attached the bracha to the Erusin, which it hadn't existed, and it was a separate ceremony. So therefore, in order to retain some symbolic memory of the way things used to be, they put in something to make a distinction. More technically, and that's probably the true answer to your question. The technical answer to your question is that you're going to make a Bari Priya Gafen twice, and it'll be a little bit problematical if you didn't have some kind of a distinction and separation between the two Kosot Shel Bracha. Especially since the first Kosot Shel Bracha has no halachic origins in the Gemara, but was something that was instituted later to strengthen the idea of the Kedushin. So, the full answer to your question is, originally the Kos Shel Bracha was put in together with the requirement of 10, together with the writing of the Ketubah at the time of the Erusin, in order to give a more public character to the Erusin. And that was done to protect, precisely to protect against spur of the moment Kedushin. And that was done because Kedushin had become such an important, or was such an important ingredient. But then once you had the Kos Shel Bracha, you wanted to separate it from the later ceremony. And also you wanted to keep a remnant of the previous mode of the difference between the Erusin and the Kedushin. Okay? On the other hand, if we now look at the next page, we find on the third paragraph a tshuva of Rabbeinu Tam from the Sefer HaYashar, which indicates that even still at the time of Rabbeinu Tam, that is Rashi's grandson, there were still cases in which the Erusin and the Nisuin were separated. So, B'Tzarfat Nishal Mashal Rabbeinu Tam al Ma'asevi al Mana Shelo Yada Sheyesh Lo Yavam. A woman died not knowing that her husband died with her husband childless, and she did not know that he had a brother. And she married to someone, she made Kedushin with someone else. In the interim, the bridegroom found out that there's some problem with this woman, that she needs Kalitza. Okay? So we see, at least from that case, that these were not unified. If we turn to the next page, to Provence, we again find people objecting, even at this late date, in the middle of the 12th century, to the requirement of 10 people being present at the time of the Kedushin. So he writes... Al hadaya habyuchet laval hashiltot shebirchat erusin tzricha asara. He says the efshar b'taut soferu. Okay. So in other words, in the time
printer's mistake,
right? A copyist's error before the printing press. Okay. And he writes, Rabbi Yitzchak Abamorimi from Marseille writes, uminhag shelanu shemekadshim shana ushtayim kolim knisatan l'kufa.
Oh boy.
ובנכח מתייחדים שניהם אף בבית הקלה, ובמקום שאין מקדשין אלא בשעת נישואין כשיוצאים מבית הכנסת, אין מברכין בלילה אלא אחרי הקדושין, שאין ברכת חתנים אלא לאחר הקדושין. So we see there were some slight differences from our custom, but the important point is that there were regions still in Provence as late as the end of the 12th century in which the Kiddushin was separated from the Nisuin by as much as a year or two. Okay. He writes, however, that at the bottom of this page, that the Eirusin became connected with the Nisuin in almost all places by the time of the next century. That is, in the West, throughout, with the exception of Provence, throughout the 12th century, and then maybe a little bit later in other places. And the reasons that he gives are several. First of all, the Crusades, that is the general upheaval and instability of Jewish communities, and therefore, you know, the husband and the wife, that is the bride and the groom, might be separated by war. You don't know, one might know what happened to someone else. Therefore, you did not want to have a long break between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin because they might be irretrievably separated. Also,
if they're separated, what would be the problem? If they're separated,
he's married, she's married.
Well,
no,
they only had Erison. They didn't have, Kiddushin.
No, Erison means Kiddushin. They didn't have, they were, up until this time, the Kiddushin equals the Erison was separated from the Nisuin. And now, he's explaining the various reasons which precipitated the overall change in the 12th century, I would place it a little bit later, maybe in the 13th century, to have the Kiddushin and the Nisuin unified. And he mentions all of the things that we did before. First of all, it was a time of persecution and upheaval in the Jewish community. Secondly, it was the reason that Rashi gave, namely that as a consequence of these persecutions, the financial situation in the Jewish communities deteriorated, and therefore it was too much to expect two parties for two big meals for the Chatzanah instead of one. Okay. Thirdly, he adds something that we didn't mention, namely the general elimination of very young girls being married. That is, as opposed to what was happening in Muslim countries, in the northern Christian countries, the idea of a girl of 8 or 9 becoming married was unacceptable, and therefore one of the reasons, namely waiting till the girl grows up to be 12 or 13 so she's ready for marriage, was not an issue. And thirdly, he says the strengthening of the engagement because of the improvement of the notion of asmachta, namely the verification of usage of penalties of asmachta the strengthening of that allowed the engagement, the notion of engagement to be transferred to the shduchim, to the engagement rather than to the kiddushin. Okay. All right. Now, if we take a look at the next page, we'll see some of the problematics attached to Kiddushin. Two cases he quotes, both of which are interesting. His page 33. Okay. Here's the she'ela of the Rif. Isha she'pash'a b'vala The woman married a second husband, and the first husband comes along and claims that there was never any divorce. We were never married. I was never married to you. Then two witnesses come and testify that indeed she was married, in fact that they cohabited.
Wow.
Not only were we never married, but you already have given me a divorce and I happen to have lost the get. All right? So therefore, obviously, the Rif decides that this woman has no credibility. And okay. Here's a more complicated case from the Rimi Gash. Ruvain hutzi shtar zenuscho. Ruvain produced the following document. Natan lanu anachnu chatmei mata, Ruvain bin Yaakov, nishkal shnei garinim. So we, the undersigned, state that Ruvain gave us a coin worth such and such. V'yamar lanu k'chu elu shnei garinim, uluchu kitshuli v'hem et plonit bar ploni. You be my agents, my shlichim, to marry this woman. V'lakachnu otam hakidushim, v'halachnu etzel plonit haniskeret, v'yamarnu la, haye mekudeshet l'uvein v'yakov, v'elu shnei hagarinim kesef. Come.
Can't be.
Why not?
Can't be a shluch on the Mosos.
Why? You cannot make a shluch on the Kedushim. Why not? It's done all the time. It's done all the time. The Kibla Otam. So take these two grains of silver and marry Reuven. The Kibla Otam Mimenu. She accepted these two grains. I accept these two grains on his behalf, and therefore I am married to Reuven. Umashaya b'fanenu katavnu v'chatavnu b'chodesh ploni b'makom ploni v'tananu l'Reuven haniskar liot b'yado l'raya. So Reuven produced the document signed by two witnesses who claimed that they were his agents, who certified that they were his agents. They married this woman for him by giving her two grains of silver, and they gave him this document as a witness thereto. And they're signed Shimon ben Levi ben Yaakov, Levi ben Yaakov, etc. V'sha'alu et piha isha nizkeret al zeh, v'hi amar lo hayu advarim me'olam. The woman denies the whole story. Sha'alu et ha'edim, v'amru ein zot chatimatein. They turned to the witnesses and said, this is not our signature. V'chatimat yad Shimon ha'nizkar nikeret. On the other hand, Shimon's signature is well known. U'ktzat anashim me'idim shehi chatimat yado. And various other people certify that this is indeed his signature. V'chatimat Levi ha'ed ha'sheni bilti nikeret. On the other hand, the second witness doesn't have a certifiable signature. V'kishach kafru ha'edim v'yotam ha'chatimot. When these two witnesses denied that this was their signature, hotzi Reuven pitka v'zenuscha. Reuven produced another document saying, ani Shimon ben Yaakov nitchayavti l'Reuven ben Yaakov v'rit Elokim Elokei Yisrael yesh al chatimat yadi she'etzlo v'shtar ha'kidushim im chatimat Levi v'Yaakov. I swear by Almighty God that Reuven has a document over my signature and the signature of the other witness. B'chol et she'yotze l'kayma, any time that he wants to certify my signature, she'akayem ota v'lo echpo ota b'shum ofim ba'olam im yotze b'veitin kavua uzulato. Whether this a document is to be certified in a court or not, or outside of the court. V'nuscha zeh she'bepitka zu. This document, mechtiva hanikweit melk, BRB, some form of Arabic script, mugalim barov anshei ha'ir. This is the type of script that most Arabic script that most people use in that town. V'ubam me'idim, and most of the people in that town assert shehi ktav yad Shimon haniska hachatun b'shtar. Okay? What? Let's summarize so far the facts in this case. Reuven produces a document.
He's married to a
this girl. Document says that we, the undersigned witnesses, have received two grains of silver from Reuven and married Rachel with these two grains of silver. Okay? Rachel denies it. She says nothing happened. Okay? Then Shimon testifies that this is not my
signature.
However, other people in the town indicate that it is his signature. Then Reuven produces a second document written in Arabic rather than in Hebrew from Shimon, saying that I, Shimon the undersigned, certify that at any point, promise Reuven that at any time that he wants me to certify my signature on the document of the marriage contract, the marriage certification,
he'll do it.
And most of the people in town agree that this second document in Arabic is over
legitimate,
is over Reuven's signature. Okay? Yildeinu Adoneinu im tzricha isha zuget mehotoein ze imlav. ואיך הדין אם אמרו העדים חתימת ידינו וזאת אבל לא כתבנו אותה בשטר הקדושים בכוונה? Now what if the witnesses testify that we didn't really pay attention to what we were signing? אלא ראובן הוציא לנו מודעה על שמעון ואמר לו תעידו לי במודעה זו אחר כך כפל אותה ונתנה לנו ישר שבאי שנתנה לה החליף אותה בשטר הקדושים. That we were tricked into signing this document because we were originally told that we were signing some other document, and then he slipped a different document onto the table. Chatamnu ba v'chashavnu sh'ayta ha-moda'a v'lo yadanu sh'sichek panu v'echlif ha-moda'a v'sha ha-kdushin. Okay? V'eich ha-din em amu ha-edim zot chatimat yadeinu v'lo yadanu amitat ze ha-inyan la'orach ha-zman. Or what if they say that this is indeed our signature, but it happened so long ago that we don't remember the details. V'eich ha-din im hoda echad mehem b'chtivat yaldo. One of the witnesses agrees that it's his signature, but he says, I don't remember anything. And the second has various variations on this problem. Apparently all of these things happened in this case. And so you can see that a real life case is much more complicated than a clear-cut problem as posed in the Gemara. ואיך הדין אם כפרו שניהם ונתקיים כיד כתב יד אחד מהם שבפתקה, ואם ראובן יכול להשביעם על כפירתן, etc.
Who objected to all this? The woman?
Yeah, the woman claims that she was never married.
So give her a get.
Huh? She doesn't want to get a get, or he doesn't want to give her a get. Or he's demanding, or he's blackmailing her and demanding payment for the delivery of her get. That was the typical situation. So the Rimi Gash Pasak שראובן נאמן בטענתו על עצמו ואסור בקרובותיה. אבל אין הוא נאמן על האישה, והיא מותרת בקרוביו כדין המשנה, שכל זמן שלא נקיימה עדות שני העדים, אם בהודעתם או בעדות שני העדים אחרים, ואין לבית דין לחקור ולשפוט חתימתם, כי אפשר להם לשנות חתימתם אותם. So the court itself cannot engage in comparative analysis of the handwriting, and so long as you don't have a certification by two witnesses that this is, who recognize
their own signature,
their signature, okay. Here is a similar case which was posed. Yes?
Suppose these witnesses were dead.
Yeah. And you still have to certify the signature.
Oh, you have to certify.
Okay.
What if there are no signatures?
Then
you can get married without having somebody sign any shtar that says you got married.
That's true, but then he has no evidence. His husband claims that she is his wife and she denies it. Why should you believe the husband? A man comes and says that a woman that he hasn't been living with, it's in another city, he married her, right? Long distance, 5 years ago. Right. I mean, it's an unlikely story without the production of a document.
Is it a case now, the Haifa Bethlehem, that a couple lived together without Kiddushin for 3 years and had a child, but they didn't need a get?
Well, we'll come to lots of those problems later on. Okay. All right. Now here is a case, a somewhat similar case, but with a different outcome in the Rambam. Okay? So on the next page, here's a tshuva of the Rambam. Okay? Na'ara yitoma bogeret, a grown girl who is an yitoma, nit arsa b'kidushim al Reuven lifnei kahal gadol. She was engaged to Reuven for a large public. About 2 months after the Kiddushim, Shimon that she was indeed married to him by her father when she was still a minor. Va'aviyah kibel kiddushin mimenu, and that her father accepted the kiddushin. Uvechol elu shnei hachadashim she'avru haya shemon demdina, v'lo amar davar mikol zeh. He only raised the issue 2 months after the kiddushin, even though he was in town during this whole time. Ve'eino maskir b'shta shem habat, v'lo kinyan, v'lo ratzon ha'av, zulati she'amar lo te'ares li bitcha ha'gdola b'zah ha'dinar. The only thing that's written in this document is that with this dinar, I will marry your oldest daughter. V'zeh ha'edut she'b'shtar hu mizman arba shanim ha'yoteh. And this document is some 4 years old. U'minhag anshei ha'aretz she'enam ma'arsim b'notehem b'shuk. It's not the custom here for men to marry off their daughters in public places. V'yaviyahu ba'al nefesh, haya ba'al nefesh v'amud, shelo la'asot ze afilu shifchato. The father was a distinguished member of the community, and he wouldn't even do this to his slave girl. V'amru ha'idim sh'aviyah lo lakach dina ha'kidushin mimenu, aval amar lo k'nei li bo chefetz ploni mimitzrayim. He said, buy something for me in Egypt. V'ed echad nasui l'kariya. One of these witnesses is married to a Karaite woman. V'ed ha'acher haya b'yoto ha'ed kal ha'ra'ut. And the other witness at the time of this event had difficulty seeing. V'yata asar ufuot le'ina v'hu'reh heitev. And now he has recovered his eyesight. U'shnehem mezalzalim b'mitzvot. And neither of these two witnesses are particularly observant. V'yovrim al k'tzat lavim. And they violate some lavim. V'echad mehem eno yodea likrot hashtar klal. And one of them is illiterate. V'zeh hashtar k'shehebiyo haya katuv k'mo asara yamim. I don't know what that means.
Fresh. But this was 4 years ago.
It looked fresh. It looked as if it had been written. I don't know what this last passage means exactly. When the mother of this daughter found out, she never heard of any such thing. And her husband never told her of any such thing. She went to the judge. He says that he believes the judge told her that he believes this document.
But he waived his right because waited so long after.
There's no such waiving of right. There are only 2 months. It was that. That the only remedy here is for this girl to receive a get from
the visa coin.
But then, too bad. V'halchu shnei ha'edim l'daberim ha'na'ara ba'ad Shimon ha'nizkar, and two witnesses went to talk to try to persuade this girl to actually marry Shimon. V'amwa ha'idu alai v'knu mimeni shelo et ratze b'Shimon b'shum panim, that I will never, ever marry Shimon. Yiva'er lano ha'gaon im titztarech ha'na'ara get imlo. Okay? Tshuva. Al kol panim tzarich get me ha'niskar ashid kitshalo aviyah v'katav Moshe. So the Rambam in this case certifies the opinion of a local judge. In fact, that's the only thing that he could do under the circumstances. He has no reason to overrule the decision of the local judge who has actually seen the case, rather than where he's just getting it second hand by a letter report, and therefore... Okay.
Why wasn't
this
pronounced because the
80 aren't
the
cure? They have a cheskat kashrut.
At that time they were cured, but now they're not.
One doesn't know. You have to disqualify two witnesses. You have to actually bring two edim who say that they really were not qualified at the time. It's not that easy to disqualify two witnesses. I mean, just the fact that he does an avera every now and then doesn't disqualify him as a witness.
Why even bring it up?
Because they wanted to disqualify the witnesses. They wanted to besmirch the character of the witnesses. I mean, the case here, I think that the Rambam acted appropriately because he didn't want to second guess a local judge. Okay. But what did happen in the case of the Rambam, and this is the first instance that rabbis were brought into weddings. Okay? Tiknu. T Tiknu Rabbanei Mitzrayim. This is a takana of the Rambam from 1187. Tiknu Rabbanei Mitzrayim, v'hotziu sefer Torah barabim, v'echrimu al anshei hakfarim hashochanim v'damanhur bilbus uval muchla, l'val yisa adam isha, v'lo yigaresh shum adam et ishto be'elu hakfarim, ela al yidei elu harabanim shebekafrei Mitzrayim. V'elu hein, Rabbi Chalfon Dayan d'manhur, o al yidei Rabbi Uda hakohen Dayan bilbus, o al yidei Rabbi Parachya Dayan al muchla, וסכמנו והחרמנו כל מי שייתן רשות לאדם שאינו יודע בטיב גיטין וקדושין, כי לכתיב רבים חללים הפילה דרשו רבינו זל, זהו תלמוד חכם שאינו יודע בטיב גיטין וקדושין. והיה זה בשליש האחרון של חודש תיבת אלף ותו צריך חט לשטרות בפוסטת מצרים, גאל נילוס, נהרה, מוטווה, ומן דהב הקדמנה כתבנו וחתמנו עליה למהבי לזכות ולראיה לאחר היום והכל שבריר וקיים, וכתב משה בר מימון דיין, יצחק בר ססון דיין, שמואל בר סעדיה דיין, מנשה בר יוסף דיין. So here the Rambam institutes regulations that only certified rabbis are to be present in the actual...
Says that too?
No, it says shekol she'ein shelo baki b'til gitin u'kedushim lo yehelo esek imahem, meaning that they shouldn't adjudicate those cases. In other words, if there's a problem with the gitin and kedushin, and they come before Dayan shouldn't handle that case unless he knows the subject. But there was never any mention of idea of the fact that the Dayan had to be present at the actual wedding. The idea of having a rabbi, an official rabbi of the congregation, present at the wedding did not exist before this takana of the Rambam. Okay?
But there's no real enforcement.
No.
Why only the religious and not...
Well, they extended this. Let's take a look at the next page. The original takana was limited to these villages, where apparently there was insufficient public control. But a few years later, some 40 years later, we find the following takana in Alexandria. Kishaya yom echad ha-chamishi v'chodesh adar sheni mishnat dalet tov tov tzad kuf tzadikei l'yitzira b'na amon da'al kef yama rabba. So the place was still called Naamon, the old Egyptian name, as opposed to Alexandria. Motva v'nikva beit din kirkogon kedoshim arano rav Yitzhak ha-dayan yurum hodo v'rabi chalfon ha-sa nechbad yitzhekel tzadik lorana v'yasaf ha-saf yafi sefat ha-kenim v'yacharim cherem chamur v'sefer Torah ha-mukdash v'vait ha-knesset ha-katan knesset ha-irakim ha-el yatsid gvula v'shem kol bar Yisrael. Kol mi shiyasader kedoshim b'lo mitzvat ha-memunah shel Alexandria ha-shmura וכל מי שיש לו חלק בקדושים אלו, כמו העדים שיעידו בהם, או מי שיכתוב את הכתובה, ייכנס בחרם הזה, ולא יבואו אל כל מי שיסעסק בדבר הזה, לא בשמחתו ולא ביבלו, אלא יהיה מובדל מן הקהל ויהיה נתפס למה שהזכירו הזקנים, שרבינו משה זכר צדיק לברכה הוא, רבי יצחק בן הרב, רבינו ששון צדיק לברכה הם, כל הדיינים שהיו בזמן ההוא, החרימו על כל יושבי הכפרים אשר יסעדו קדושים בלי רשות הממונים המורשים לזה על ידי הראיס, that means the head in Arabic, של אותו הזמן. So, finally we find the penalty of cherem attached to anyone who participates in a wedding without the presence of the officially appointed rabbi.
Is the rabbi?
Yeah. Okay. Alright, so finally we see that for the first time in our history the notion of the certification of a person to be able to perform a marriage or a divorce. Okay, so this was instituted by the Rambam in Egypt and eventually of course it spread, but this is our first instance. Okay, so we will stop here and I will try to get around to Xeroxing the next portion of Feynman's book for next time. Now, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, there won't be a shiur because I don't have to be...